Hey, good evening, everybody. It's good to be here. It's always a privilege to be able to stand up and just share what the Lord's put on my heart. And I always appreciate the elders in the chapel giving us young men the opportunity. I don't see a whole lot of young men here, but if anyone's listening, I would encourage you always say yes when they ask you, even when you're scared, because it's a good experience. It's a good lesson. The Lord really can teach you a lot through it. So as I was thinking about what I was going to share this evening when they asked me to speak, I was reading a couple different books on the attributes and the character of God and who he is. And at the same time I was reading those books, I was going through Ezekiel in my quiet time. So the Lord kind of meshed all that together and really opened up some things in Ezekiel that really encouraged me and taught me a lot and helped me in my day-to-day walk. And so what I'm going to share with you is what God is not. So not to sound blasphemous, but so as we go through these, I'll just kind of share what the Lord kind of showed me and practically how they helped me in my walk and my daily struggle. So the first thing that God is not is he is not remembering your sins. And in Ezekiel, and we're going to be jumping through Ezekiel, and I can just read the verses, but Ezekiel 33:16, it says, "None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, and he shall surely live." And as I was reading that, so I'll share with you a lot of the struggles that I have in my walk. A lot of it is in my head. The spiritual battle that goes day to day, just my own thoughts, just the thoughts that I feel like the enemy is presenting to me, even the thoughts that the world throws out, and even thoughts that my own feelings and emotion present. And those things seem, more often than not, very contrary to the Word. So as I was thinking about this, he says, "None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him." And I thought about that because a lot of times in my walk, I'll see my mind in that quiet time, I'll just drift off to things that I've done, things that I yesterday, 10 years ago, those things will come to my mind. You can tell, you're just the accusers come bringing things to your memory, and you dwell on those things, and those things will drag you down. And then with the Lord saying, you know, if I feel like if I'm remembering those things, then God in heaven, Almighty, must be remembering these things. He must be seeing these things constantly. In fact, and I know we're not saying God doesn't forget. Obviously, God doesn't forget, but he's not remembering. When he looks at us, and when we see our sin, and we see our evil and our wickedness, he looks at us, those of us in Christ, he sees us blameless and spotless, that there, not only are we not guilty, we've never committed the crime. And that just blows my mind, that God's not remembering our sins. And that frees me up to stop dwelling on those things. If God's not remembering them, then we shouldn't be dwelling on them. Those are not the things God wants us to dwell on. You know, if we've confessed it, if we've repented, move on. Keep walking with him. He's not remembering. Don't get weighed down on dwelling on the guilt of sin. The guilt and the shame, that was all put on Christ, and God does not expect us to carry that. I wrote down, trust God at his word and his work. And I think that's the big thing is, for me, a lot of those things that I remember, the Lord said, they're done, they're dealt with. And I have to start believing that. I start believing the word as opposed to what I'm feeling. So the second thing God is not, I wrote down, he is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of me. Ezekiel 36:28. He says, "You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." And I was reading that. I said, look at that. I mean, if you think about where this is written in Ezekiel's time, I mean, Israel's in a really bad state. In fact, a lot of them aren't even in Israel anymore. And he's saying, God's saying, even in the midst of the wickedness, he's going to identify with them. They're going to be his people, and I will be your God. And that applies to us too in Christ. Even in the midst of our mistakes, and we fall and we fall and we fall. And as I was looking at my list, I see it's almost a progression. I remember my sin, and then I start getting ashamed of my sin. I start getting ashamed of myself, and I'm ashamed of myself. How can the Lord identify me? And I was thinking about that. And I think about how Christ told his disciples before, you know, his crucifixion. He said, you're my brothers, but I'm sorry, you're my friends, not my servants, you're my friends. And he said that to those disciples, knowing that they were all about to deny him. They were going to, Peter was about to deny him three times that he even knew a man. And he says, you're my friend. And that's the God we have, that even though we remember our sin, we struggle with that, and then we respond to that remembrance and shame and guilt, and we start beating ourselves down, and God says, that's my son. You're my heir. You're my son and my daughter. And he identifies with us in Christ. He doesn't see us as an enemy. He sees us as an heir. And I just thought that was so encouraging. That is so uplifting. Again, it's so freeing to think on these things, because it allows us to enjoy him, to walk with him. And I wrote that down. I said, he enjoys you. He enjoys you in Christ. He enjoys you. All the sin question has been answered and dealt with, and he enjoys you. He sings songs over you. He holds you in his arms like a baby lamb, and he wants us to enjoy him. And I think sometimes we get so beat down, we get so succumbed to our own condition right now, that we forget that we're learning to enjoy him now, because we're going to enjoy him forever. So he's not ashamed of you. He identifies with you. So the last one is, and this is the one that really kind of struck me, and I was really struggling not to share this at the Lord's Supper a couple weeks ago, but he is not angry with you. And think about that progression of those. Again, this is how my mind works. See, I remember my sin, I'm ashamed of my sin, and now a righteous, holy God, he's got to be mad at my sin. He's got to be mad at me, right? He's got to be angry with me. And in Ezekiel 5:13, he says, thus my anger shall spend itself, and I will vent my fury upon them and satisfy myself, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And I was thinking about this, about God's anger and God's wrath, and every aspect of God is perfect, every aspect of it. His anger, his holiness, his righteousness, everything. And as I was thinking about that, God's not like us, or I'll say me, where I'll say I'm not angry anymore, and yet I'm still a little short with Jen. I'm still a little snapping, making comments, that the anger is still there. The resentment is still there. God's not like that. He's nothing like us. When he says his anger is spent, he means that. He poured all his anger, all his wrath, all the holy, righteous judgment that was meant for us onto Christ. Every drop of it. Every bit of it. So there's nothing left toward us. So when we see ourselves in our sin and our struggles and our daily, this every day, we fall more than we do right. We sin more than we're obedient. He doesn't get angry with us. Yes, he convicts us out of love. Yes, he corrects us out of love. But there's no judgment. There's no wrath left for us. And that is so encouraging. It was spent on Christ, and there's not one drop left for us. And it made me, when I wrote that down, I thought of that song that we sing at the Lord's Supper, and I couldn't find it because I'm terrible at finding stuff in the hymn book, but I'm sure someone knows what song I'm talking about. There's not one drop left for me. Okay, you all know what I'm talking about. But it's just so freeing to think about that, to know that no matter what our feelings tell us, what our emotions tell us, what the world tells us, what the enemy tells us, those are not truth. And that's the hard part, is the things that we feel it. We take our own personal character and we try to apply it to a holy, heavenly God, and we can't do that. And that we have to recognize him how he tells us it to in his word. And that's the truth. So when you're telling yourself, I'm remembering my wickedness, maybe you're here tonight, maybe you're down in that well of just the sin and just you're disobedient, and the Lord is just, you're beat up. And tonight, maybe you need to hear, you're okay. If you're in Christ, the Lord loves you. He's not remembering, he's not ashamed, and he's not angry. Confess, repent, restore your fellowship, enjoy him. And as I close, I'm always close too quick, sorry. And I always like to say with things like this, I think most people I've spoken to here tonight, they know Christ. But for some reason, if someone's here, if you are not in Christ, these truths don't apply to you. And that's not me saying it. That's not Shannon Hill saying it. That's the Word saying it. That you are still in judgment. You are still in your sin. So if you are not in Christ, these truths don't apply. But thankfully, the Lord's calling you, and someone here, you can talk to me afterward or talk to someone. But don't go home not knowing these truths. So That's it. I'm always a few minutes early, but I appreciate y'all. I love you guys. You guys are my. I always get nervous coming in, and then when I get here, I'm like, they're my brothers and sisters. What am I worried about? So I thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your encouragement. Again, thank you for the opportunity just to open up the Word, and hopefully it was an encouragement to you. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity just to open up your Word and just share what you put on my heart, Father. I know it's not super profound and super deep, Lord, but it's still truth, and I hope it glorified you, and hope it honored you, and I hope it encouraged my brothers and sisters here tonight, because it encouraged me and it helped me in my walk, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for Christ. Thank you that we'll never get away from that fact of the work that was accomplished on that cross. We'll be praising it and singing about it and talking about it for eternity, Lord. So thank you that you love us. Thank you for the work that you began and the work that you're doing, and it's not of us and it's not of anything what we have merited toward ourselves. It's all of you, Father. So we lift you up tonight. We praise you. We thank you. We lift up all the different requests that were mentioned again, the people that are hurting, people that are sick, just the different things going on. We look to you, Lord, and confess that we can do nothing in ourselves, that we need you for everything, and that we just ask that you draw close to us. Help us to enjoy you this week. Help everyone go out tonight and enjoy you the rest of this week. Enjoy the smile on your face as you look on us in Christ, Father. Again, we love you, Lord, because you loved us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.